Right, who out of you three on the call with me loves noise? Cherie?
Not at all.
Michael?
Not really into it, especially now. I just hear my dog make noises all day. It's very upsetting.
John?
Is this a joke?
It is, John. It is the fact that we don't have noise on this podcast. It's all cancelled. It's the Noise Cancelling Podcast. It's a tech podcast about noise being cancelled. Well, it's not. It's a tech podcast around technical issues, technical things, tech. And it's stuff that we should be knowledgeable about, that we should be passionate about, and we try to be both, but often fail. I think I've already given away who's on the call with me today, but let's start again. Cherie?
I'm Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Mike Andronico, the editor-in-chief of Tom's Guide.
I'm John McCann, editor of Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. Cherie, how are you doing today?
Taking it day by day. I made a pizza on my new grill. So excited.
What toppings?
Fresh mozzarella, basil, prosciutto, and put something else on there. I can't even remember, but it was delicious.
It wasn't pineapple, was it?
No.
Then we're okay.
Well, I don't believe in Hawaiian pizza.
You can not like it. You can't not believe in it. It exists.
Do they?
Yes, and they're delicious, and everyone loves them. Michael, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Made some pasta last night. Not as exciting as Cherie's pizza, but it was pretty good. And just trying to stay busy, stay sane, playing a lot of Mortal Kombat and Animal Crossing, which is a nice kind of duality. And that's me lately. And again, trying to run a website too.
Oh yeah, that!
And John, what did you have for dinner last night? Apparently that's what we talk about now.
I got a Taco Bell delivered to my door, which was beautiful, really. And I've been watching some German football or soccer.
I had moussaka yesterday. I'm not sure I've ever had moussaka before.
Ooh.
I couldn't tell you for certain, but I definitely had it, and it was interesting.
All right.
Anyway, let's talk about the world of tech today. And so we're going to start off. Initially, we were going to be talking about tomorrow's PS5 announcement that was set to be happening from Sony, sort of talking about the gameplay that was going to be coming there. But obviously, that's been cancelled, as Sony has said, to allow more important voices to be heard. I think that's obviously an understandable thing right now. It's not the time to be talking about games and gameplay and people celebrating that. But obviously, that's going to push it down the line.
Yeah, like, I was excited to talk about this, but, you know, something a lot more important has happened in the U.S. We're currently witnessing unprecedented protests in relation to the killings of African-American men and women at the hands of basically racist ideologies and excessive police brutality. And it's just gotten to a point where people around the country and around the world, which is even more amazing, are saying enough is enough, that indeed Black lives do matter. It's been a roller coaster. What I can say is that it touches on a fear that you never really want to acknowledge openly, but I have to acknowledge this fear. Like, I am a Black woman, and like, I have a Black dad and a brother and a boyfriend and cousins and friends that at any given point, no matter what they wear, can fit a description. Hell, I can fit a description just because I exist in a tech space and I talk to people that, if you look at my how I look and you have a racial bias, you would think that I don't belong there. Of course, nobody's tomorrow is promise, but it's just a little more real when you are a Black or a brown person.
So obviously we're part of Future Publishing, which is obviously the publishing house that has Laptop Mag, Tom's Guide, Tech Radar, Games Radar and PC Gamer. A lot of the sites have been publishing a lot of content in support of Black Lives Matter. I think there's a lot of education to be done. You know, there's a lot of diversity, I think, that needs to be improved within both the industry and our sites as well. And I think it's great to see a lot of people committing towards that. But agreed, this is much wider than the tech industry. You know, the fact that Google has changed some stuff because of protests and Sony is postponing these things is obviously something people didn't expect, but I think there's a much wider conversation right now. It's good that we're having these conversations out, and like, a lot of people in the industry, me included, can learn a lot more, and it's been good to see those resources placed prominently and more easily able to be found.
It's not an easy conversation to have, and it's something that, like, if there could be a silver lining to the loss of life from the people that honestly I pay to serve and protect. If you're in NYC, like on the police cars, it says courtesy professionalism and respect. A lot of us don't get that just based on where your zip code is and what you look like. But yet, I've been a law-abiding citizen since I've started working at 14. And to know that those same rights, that same courtesy and professionalism and respect does not extend to me any given day, it's uncomfortable to talk about. I'm hoping that this won't fade, and because that's been the problem. Like, there's been outrage, but there hasn't been any reform to make this not happen again. And I like what I've been really heartened to see this time is that I've had so many of my non-Black friends and colleagues reach out to see how I'm feeling, see if I'm okay, and ask how can they support. And like honestly, it's having those tough dialogues. It's doing the research. Like, and for us, like for Laptop Mag, it's my personal responsibility and my goal to make as diverse a newsroom as possible, because diversity in journalism only makes the tapestry of our facts and reporting and our viewpoints that much richer. It's just common sense to amplify those voices and find them. So that's what I'm going to be doing for my little piece of the world that is Laptop Mag, really just working to find those voices that are ready to talk about tech now and to continue my mentoring work, continue to go to high schools, continue to go to elementary schools, and let kids know that this job exists. Like, hey, you too could one day be editor of your own publication.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've got three editor-in-chiefs on the call right now. I mean, I keep saying call, like the podcast, but because we can't be near each other, it's a call. We get to look at each other on a Google Hangout. But I think as editors-in-chief, I think that is, it's not just Laptop Mag, it should be all of us that is constantly aiming to improve diversity and increase, I said, the variety of voices that can be heard. And I think, yeah, we absolutely support that and we pledge to do the same thing.
And I think what's also really refreshing is that all these companies are reaching out and making these statements, and it's a good first step, but I'm hoping that the pressure will be on these companies to do more than make a hollow statement. Like, for instance, Ben and Jerry has always been about racial injustice. Like, so while some people are like, yeah, like Black Lives Matter, Ben and Jerry's is over there with a carton of Chunky Monkey. Like, yeah, so time to burn down the establishment? Are you ready now? Would you like some Chunky Monkey as we tear it all down? Like, yeah, yes, yes, Ben and Jerry, all of yes. that.
And on the gaming side, Square Enix, I think, has donated like $25,000 towards Black Lives Matter and similar causes and charities. So it is heartening to see companies put statements out, you know, postpone events, be thoughtful, be empathetic. But like Cherie said, it's especially encouraging to see the ones that are going beyond just kind of putting the generic statement out and actually putting things into action. You know, you're seeing a lot of people, a lot of influencers on Twitter and streamers and whatnot are doing a great job spotlighting Black streamers, Black YouTubers. And that's something I definitely want to see more of. And as an editor-in-chief, it's definitely a goal of mine, of course, to get more Black voices on the site and just improve our diversity overall.
Yeah, and the gaming industry, like you said, has put out a lot of statements and a lot of people have obviously come out in support. It does beg the question whether E3 would have even happened at this point. And obviously now it's not happening anyway because of the coronavirus. But the fact is it isn't happening. And the question is actually this still the gaming event? You know, is this still the thing that is going to be the gaming epicenter of the year going forwards?
I sure as hell hope so. Like, I love a good show. And E3 is a show that celebrates one of my oldest passions, gaming. So I can't see not having another E3, but I definitely know that this is the beginning of a seismic change to how the show is done. It might coalesce into a totally new E3 that isn't in LA, and I'd totally be fine with that as long as it's not in New York, because I don't need, as much as I love you all, I just don't need all of that traffic when I'm trying to get home. I'm just going to be real.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting because I'm with Tree. You know, I do love E3. I've been attending for several years, but it has been changing. The past few years, they've tried shifting it to more of a fan-centric event, which especially in the first year was very rough from a from an infrastructure standpoint, a lot of foot traffic. But also, and Sri, I think you might agree with me here. I think the last day of E3 2019 was probably the quietest I've ever seen that show floor.
Yes.
Obviously, Sony skipped out, which was a big deal. So I think more and more developers and publishers are realizing they could go the online only route, you know, have their own Nintendo Direct style Sony State of Play event. And now, I mean, you know, in the backdrop of coronavirus, of all the shows that are being canceled, I'm actually not entirely convinced that E3 will come back next year, given the trajectory it was already on and the way things are evolving. I'm actually not sure if it'll come back, or if it will, it may be very, very different.
I am hoping that this will be a reset to making it into a true trade event again. Because with bringing in the fans, as fun as it is for fans, like, I'm literally there to do a job. So my inner Jersey girl, New Yorker, comes out when I'm trying to get to my appointments. And, you know, God bless you, Cali, and your laid back lifestyle. Like, they're just walking so sweetly, like, oh, you know, I'm here. I'm willing to wait on this line for who knows how long to play a snippet of this game. I'm like, move out of my way before I rend your soul from your body. I have a 10-15 appointment. Like, it's like I'm hoping that it the show will have to be smaller, because just on the strength of we're still going to be very, very cautious for COVID, like, it's not going to be feasible to have all those people there. And when they started opening it up to fans, the security got so tight, because, like, you have unsavory elements like Gamergate, which, let's be real, they're still there. They just got, we just learned to start ignoring them. And people disgruntled by their favorite game. Maybe they didn't get that custom skin, and now it's time to take it out on everybody there. So security has gotten increasingly tight. So I'm hoping that this will reset it, make it smaller, make it an industry event, which it was meant to be, because I've also talked to vendors, and vendors aren't really, like, they love the fans, but they want a show that they can get easy access to press. Like, okay, here's this game. Like, here's maybe an hour of it. Like, let's talk about it. And, like, it's hard to do that. Like, one vendor, the first year that they let fans come in, they had hardware stolen. A first for them. Like, before, you could just leave your stuff out. And, like, at the end, when the show closed, everyone left. They went to their parties, went to go write or whatever they were going to do. But, like, things were being stolen because, like, people are so excited to be at the event and they want their own piece, for better or worse.
I think we are seeing a trend towards smaller events as well. We've seen over the past few years manufacturers spinning off away from the big events, Sony skipping out last year, and they were going to skip out this year had it gone ahead. But if you look at CES, MWC, IFA, other big trade shows that happen, the names like Samsung, Huawei, Apple have always stayed away, and because they are now realizing the value in a standalone event, you get a much better chance to show your wares without having to compete with all of your rivals at the same time. And that means that we are getting more events, as it were, throughout the year, which is kind of nice from a tech perspective, because I always like a launch, you know, new products coming out, something to write about, especially when readers are really engaged as well in the new products and sort of almost the hype cycle leading up to it as well, and then the launch itself. So to have more of those standalone events is really nice from sort of a nerdy, passionate sort of perspective. But it does take the shine slightly off the bigger events. And like you, Sherry, I love a good sort of trade show and, yeah, CES. But CES for me has felt a bit stale the last few years. If you struggle to walk out CES going, you know, this product stole the show or something, it sort of lacks that real, like, wow moment, I feel, in recent years. And I'm wondering if we're going to just see more of that with all of this sort of remote works. We don't need to fly, you know, halfway around the world, where we can, you know, quite as easily put a live stream up, save the planet.
you've got to be careful that Cherie adores CES more than anything that's ever existed.
Because you know what? Like, as I'm sitting here really thinking about these shows, like, yes, you have your big heavy hitters, but these are also the shows where you find those weird pieces of tech. And for E3, it's where you find those indie darlings that you'd never know about, or they'd never know how to contact you any other way unless they have the funding to get a PR person to get their game in front of you. Like, this is like walking down that corridor of Los Angeles Convention Center. Like, you never know. Like, ooh, are you like, I saw a game one time where I had to put on a wolf's head and that was the controller. And it was the most surreal game I've ever played. But I remember that game to this day.
I mean, anyone would, I think. You know, if the game is putting on a head of an animal, I think that's a pretty clear message that things aren't normal. We talked about it just now briefly, but also the Android event has been delayed because of the protests. And at the event, we were thinking we're going to be seeing a little bit more in terms of the reveal of the beta, in terms of Android 11 coming to smartphones, etc. I mean, Michael, what do you think is going to be further down the line there?
Oh, yeah. So when we do get the eventual Android event, this was going to be their event to actually officially launch and reveal the beta for the new operating system. And at least from the features we've seen and heard about and looking at leaks, it's looking like a lot of small changes, but that will things that will add up to pretty good experience. Some of the things we're looking at are things like chat bubbles that can hover regardless of what app you're using. So you could always stay in your text conversation. Things like better app permission controls. So your phone won't constantly ask you for permission to use your camera. You know, you could do allow once, always allow, things like that. Things we've seen on other platforms. I think a big theme with Android 11 is kind of supporting new technologies. It's going to be better optimized for foldable displays. There's going to be better refresh rate options for things like gaming and streaming from Google Stadia. There's some small optimizations under the hood to make it play nicer with 5G. So I really think Android 11 is just kind of getting ready for the next generation of phone technology.
I always find, like, you know, these events are so annoying in the sense of, like, when you talk about that stuff, it sounds hella boring, you know, just like, you know, yep. App permissions and refresh rates and it gets ready for, you know, more readiness for foldable phones. Then you explain what kind of stuff this actually means. Like, you know, these app permissions genuinely allow you to have control over your phone. You know, people go, oh, actually, I do kind of want that. Thanks. And, you know, refresh rates, you know, like you show two phones side by side. Look how one this scrolls so much nicer. Like, that does look better. I want that. And it's like, there's so many things that, and this is why sites like techradar.com are there to exist to help you understand these things. But it helps you to, in terms of it translating this, I think that's always the trickiest thing. Like, these stuff, they are really interesting nuggets. They do some really cool stuff, but it just doesn't, it never sounds interesting from the outset, does it?
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing with a lot of these developer-focused events, and that's how a lot of us felt watching the PS5 deep dive in March, which was, I thought was kind of excruciating. As brilliant and wonderful as Mark Cerny is, and as exciting as the technology is, you know, I feel like that's something that could have been sent to developers separately and maybe given us just a quick 5-minute presentation on, here's what the SSD actually means for games. Here's a game loading in real time. Here's a ray tracing demo. So yeah, I think messaging is key. And, you know, obviously we have WWDC coming up on June 22nd. I think Apple's generally better about making its developer conferences a little more mainstream friendly. So we'll see there in terms of what we'll get from iOS 14 and WatchOS 7. But I agree that, yeah, a lot of these developer presentations can be kind of hard to watch for the everyday person.
And it's a shame that we're not getting new hardware as well. I mean, there were originally some rumors, John, weren't there, that the Pixel 4a might be turning up, but you don't think it's going to be here now, right?
Well, no. If you looked at last year, the Pixel 3a turned up on May 7th, which was 7 months after the Pixel 3 arrived, which would have meant that we were looking at sort of a May 12th date for the Pixel 4, which would have been the start of Google I.O., which was then cancelled because of COVID. And now the actual release date is a bit more up in the air. There were rumours that June 5th, which would be in 2 days' time, but we've not really heard any follow-up on that date since, so that's seeming less likely because usually we get a bit more of a buzz around potential events coming up if they were really just 2 days away. The other rumour at the moment is July 13th. That came from John Prosser, a leading tech analyst and leaker. He tweeted that on May 21st. But yeah, he's saying July 13th is the new date that Google will use that will get just one model. Apparently there won't be an XL model as there was last year. And it will be a 4G-only phone, no 5G, which isn't a shock. It's Google's mid-range around $399, going off the pricing from the 3A last year. So yeah, we look like we're probably a month away from it still. If you look at other rumors, apparently Google is ready to ship them. The units are ready. They're basically waiting for a better global situation in terms of the markets reopening and commerce basically starting back up a bit more.
I mean, the Pixel 4a is always a weird phone. I mean, for people that Google Pixel still isn't like, you know, the worldwide brand that I'm sure Google hopes it would have been. Like, it's known, but it's not like, you know, the primary consideration alongside your iPhone or your Galaxy. And I think the Pixel 4a always, the A series of the range always confuses things because it's got so many of the good features and yet is a lot cheaper. And you're sort of like, well, why do I need the main one? You know, there's so much going on there.
Yeah, it's a great entry point for those looking for a smartphone if they don't want iPhone. Basically, it's going to be a rival to the new iPhone SE, which arrived, was it last month? So long ago. Everything's from so long ago now. But it's basically the rival to that, an affordable-ish, flagship-ish phone. But really, what it's going to focus on is the photography aspect. Google's AI behind the scenes, its image processing is top-notch. So while it will only have, by the looks of it, a single-lens camera on the rear, the quality you're able to deliver through that is actually quite impressive, and it has been in the previous generation of handset. And we're expecting more again this year with slight bumps in RAM, screen size and battery backing that up as well. But it does make an interesting juxtaposition versus the flagship Pixel 4, which is a chunk more expensive and, you know, on the face of it, not wholly different.
Well, what if you took that money for the Google Pixel 4a and instead I offered you what I'd like to call an anti-5G quantum machine?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure if that is technically possible, Gareth. Tell me more.
What a slick segue. No one saw that. So this is a fun story this week. There has been some people have been trying to sell what they called anti-5G quantum machines, which turned out to just be 128 megabyte USB drives. This was a story where people have been...
With a sticker on it.
Well, don't ruin it.
Don't undersell.
So it's obviously the idea that people have been launching devices that can, and they're called quantum holographic catalyzer technologies. Went on sale in the UK for £283, and that it could ideally protect your entire home from 5G. But a stripped down test, they found that the device was actually just a USB stick with a sticker attached and offered no protection at all. I think that kind of makes sense, right, Cherie?
Listen. Never underestimate the power of a good sticker. Number one. Two, I cackled so hard when I read this story. 5G has already been here. Like, we're already here, folks. Like, the conspiracy theories that have come out about 5G, I have to laugh to keep from crying. Also, kudos to this company for basically making a techie version of a tinfoil hat. The scam artistry of it all is just, it's breathtaking. But seriously, 5G has been here, like, it's definitely in the United States in limited functionality. And I just don't know when globally we just decided to turn back the clock on evolving our tech. Like, what's next? We're going to start burning people at the stake for, like, hey, let's talk about 6G. Here's a witch! Like, what's going to happen when, like, while I do think that something should be taken very slowly because I do not want Skynet, 5G is not going to be the harbinger of doom. It most certainly does not cause coronavirus. It most certainly doesn't cause cancer or radiation or any of the other things that have been floating around here. It's just a way to make sure that you can stream your movies and your games and all that good stuff just a wee bit faster.
I mean, the thing, like, 5G is in the spectrum, you know, the radio spectrum. It's just like it sits below light. You know, light is technically more dangerous here, you know, in terms of the fact that it goes through the spectrum, it goes that way. And it's proven to be safe by so many different multiple bodies. And always things like this should be tested. But the idea that 5G is any different to 4G or any of the previous, radio waves that come out of phones that are emitted. It's just crazy. You know, 5G phones are coming, 5G laptops are coming. There's so much going to happen with this game-changing, groundbreaking technology. And it would just be a shame if it was derailed by the fact that people are feeling like there's a problem with it, that 5G is going to be this harbinger of doom, when actually it's just, you know what, a really good way to get more of what we do in our daily lives more easily. Well, you know, on that very excitable note, let's take a break, shall we? So, you know how my dad loves his podcast, Cherie? And he says, I spoke to him last night, he's a big fan, except I do think he's a fan of you rather than me.
I mean, that's the right decision. It's a choice of taste.
But that does mean we've got Father's Day coming up. It's the 21st, in case you had forgotten, like I had. And it just so happens that this week's sponsor of Noise Cancelling Podcast is Mack Weldon, which handily has the tagline, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now.
Ooh, I'm always wearing the best.
Well, maybe this one isn't just for you then.
Don't they do underwear?
Well, yeah, well, Mack Weldon does indeed claim to offer industry-leading underwear. It's got silver in it to make it antimicrobial and smell great, and actually has a special process to make the material more comfortable and soft than ever, which we all want on our skin. In fact, they want you to be comfortable, so check this out. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it, and they will refund you, no questions asked.
I am always a fan of clean-smelling bait and tackles. Always.
But wait, okay, I mean, that's one thing, but there is more. They have got socks, they've got shirts, they've got hoodies, they've got underwear, as we talked about, and there's also the new adjustable Storm Chaser rain jacket. You know what, even their workout gear is made to be more comfortable, which isn't always the case, because I know you can't see me properly, obviously, right now, but I'm still feeling a lot of chafing from recent workouts.
Oh, really? Didn't need to know that.
But as soon as you sign up for free, you're level one, who wants to be level one in the Weldon Blue loyalty program with free shipping? But get this, you'll move up to level two when you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon. And then not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but you will also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. Plus, get access to new products before they're released to anyone else. Exclusive access rocks, and as well as free gifts added to future orders.
Why don't you care about our listeners? What about them?
Luckily, listeners, we're here for you too, because you can get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is visit mackweldon.com and enter the promo code NOISE. That's MACKWELDON.com and enter the promo code NOISE.
I'm getting your dad some underwear for Father's Day.
Right, we are back and we are here with the reviews, the releases. Cherie, where are we going?
We're going to the labs, we're going to reviews, we're going to talk about laptops, tablets, and consoles, and whatever else we choose. Reviews.
Well, we've had a couple of good reviews this week. First of all, on Tech Radar, we have had the Sony Xperia 1-2 review. I don't know how many of you guys have tried this phone, have seen this phone.
I have not.
I just realized last week that Sony's still making phones.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
But I mean, I suppose that's one of those things. It's a divide across the pond again. You know, over in England, you know, Sony phones are still a really big thing, right, John?
Kinda, but they're not as prolific as maybe they once were. But with the Sony Xperia 1 Mark II, as they like to call it, they could be back with a little bit of a bang. It's a great little package. It's got a better battery than a few Sony Xperia flagships had previously, so that's a big tick. The 4K screen may seem excessive on a phone, but it really is quite something to behold when you've got some really good 4K HDR footage running on there. It's got a 3.5mm headphone jack. That's pretty rare these days. And it's got great camera around the back. That name, the Mark II, that is taken from Sony's line of full cameras. And it's just another nod that, you know, they've got some really impressive tech in the camera department on this phone. There are a few caveats. One, it's really expensive. And when we say that, we're talking top-end Samsung iPhone levels, probably around $1,000 kind of price. So it's going to be one for the people with a little bit of extra cash in their pocket. And also, it's aimed at a smaller demographic. Sony have been quite open at saying it's not for everyone. They're aiming at more content creators, streamers, YouTubers. It's that sort of on-the-go device that you can grab video with, you can stream with, you can edit with. And that's really the whole angle they're going with, which is interesting. It'd be even more interesting to see how many people actually jump back on board.
Yeah, I mean, Sony's always been an interesting one, right? In terms of the tech that they have, the tech that the phone possesses is always like really top end. Like I went to see their headquarters in Japan a few years ago, and you can see such passionate engineers working on the camera, on the screen technology, on the audio. There's so much, you know, that Sony's got heritage in, and you just sort of think, how has there not been like an amazing top-end phone? I feel like it's one of those things actually quite sad about the phone industry right now, that all this top-end tech is now, you know, they've realized, you know what, we haven't been able to make a phone that really appeals to everybody right now. So let's target these YouTubers and people that want to make content. And I feel like actually it's pretty good for that. You know, the design is kind of crazy. And you know what? I still can't really get on board with the 4K screen on a phone, because there's so many people out there that have, you know, have just got to like used to having an HD screen, you know, like there's so much content on you know, the airwaves that is still in SD. You know, we're chucking 4K resolution on the phone. I mean, does it really make that much of a difference?
If you put it side by side, it does. You can genuinely see the difference. And with the likes of Netflix and Prime Video offering up now a decent quantity of 4K HDR content as well, it's not difficult anymore to find that sort of stuff. When Sony first kicked out its first 4K display smartphone, there was maybe five things that you could properly watch in 4K on it, but now it's really easy, so it does make a difference. And yeah, it is absolutely a luxury rather than an essential, but if you're willing to pay top dollar for a phone and you're looking for maybe something a bit different, and you really want, you know, a really, really good screen, and you really care about sort of that crisp detail, it gives you much more depth as well in the picture. It is a lovely, lovely display, but yeah, obviously you'll have to weigh it up whether it's right or not for you.
It's $1,200, admittedly. But I feel like, I mean, Sheree, are you more excited now we've talked about the great tech on side, or are you just like, nah?
I've always been a fan of Sony phones, and I'm sad that we don't get them anymore in the States. Like, they were always these weirdly shaped devices, but they always had some of the best camera tech in it. And I think Andronico would agree, as TG does a lot of smartphone camera face-offs. I would love to see how Sony compares against the likes of the iPhone and the Pixel and the Galaxy, because like you're right, you're getting these top of the line phones with these top of, like, Sony takes so much detail and time and concern into these phones, and it was they never really took off here because they would always go for exclusive contracts with carriers, which is never a way to go if you want to go mainstream with your phone. I don't know why this is still a thing. It should never be a thing. It really helps Apple and Samsung really get a corner, like basically take the lion's share of the smartphone market. Like, don't do this. Like, there needs to be phone diversity. There needs to be diversity in all things. Like, people want choices. Like, right now, it's either your Samsung or your Apple. There should be more than that. And maybe a little bit of Pixel. Maybe you're a Pixel. I don't know.
But I mean, let's give you guys something to talk about. HBO Max. That's something that's been big over there in England. No.
Really?
Yeah. So HBO Max is out. Our review is underway. We have checked out some of the individual shows, but yeah, this is HBO's big new streaming service, taking on the likes of Netflix and Disney Plus. And I think where HBO Max really stands out right now is the back catalog. This is where you can watch all of Friends, all of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, all of Game of Thrones.
I'm back in.
Yeah, exactly. Sold.
Fresh Prince, I'm back.
That's a lot of people are signing up for that very reason. I think it's a little weak on original content right now. We have checked out some of the launch shows, including Love Life with Anna Kendrick, which turned out to be a just fine romantic drama story. Our streaming editor, Henry Casey, was very pleasantly surprised by the new Elmo show. So for anyone who has children or is like me and just a big child at heart, that's worth checking out.
I like the fact that Henry had like expectations for Elmo. He was like, you know what? I've had some thoughts and this is how I think it's going to be. And he's like, what? This has defied expectations.
Yeah, he wrote all about it on TomsGuide.com. So there's some good stuff on there. There's great back catalog, some solid new shows, but it doesn't really have like it's Mandalorian just yet. I think that's going to change. We have things like the Game of Thrones prequel show on the way. We have, of course, Zack Snyder's Justice League coming next year, which I am actually looking forward to watching, if for no other reason than morbid curiosity. So I think it'll get there. It has run into some roadblocks, though, the biggest of which being that you still can't watch it on Roku, which is kind of bonkers because Roku, of course, one of the biggest, most adopted, you know, streaming platforms in the world. And I think that has to do with some kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, them just not coming to an agreement. So there's that. I think there's still some confusion about what's the difference between HBO Max, HBO Now, HBO Go. I think as it stands, you know, basically if you have HBO Now, which is the other standalone streaming service, you just get HBO Max for free. Then there's all these different connections and loopholes. So I think some of the brand confusion and some of the issues on platforms are, you know, making some people upset. But in general, it seems like it's off to a solid start. Doesn't really have that much must-watch new exclusive show just yet, but I think it'll get there.
Side note, I found out the other day that Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son, obviously, has made a water company called Just Water. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, that company has been in fruition about the same time that we start learning about the Flint water crisis. And he's been setting up stations throughout Flint, Michigan to give free water.
Yeah, I mean, that just surprised me. I didn't see the world going down that road, but it's actually seems like quite a good enterprise. Nothing to do with tech, just found out this week on a podcast.
All right, today you learned. But back really quickly on HBO Max, I am excited. Like, my friends and I are really looking for, I think we're going to sit down today and watch Legendary, which is the ballroom competition, which is perfectly apropos because we, not only are we in Black Music Month, we're also in Pride Month. So happy Pride to my LGBTQIA folks. We see you, we love you, and let's get down to business. Let's do this hard work. But, like, I am so excited to actually have a show that gives you a taste of what ballroom culture is, which, if you're not familiar, is it's extravagant. It's dancing. It's pageantry. It's a competition, and it is so fun to watch. And they're going to have really cool judges like Meg Thee Stallion. And it's just going to be an extravaganza. So my friends and I are supposed to start watching today. I cannot wait. Also, HBO Max, thank you for all the DC stuff. So I can have a place to catch up on everything. So now I can do Harley Quinn and all that other stuff that I've been meaning to do.
Right. Well, I feel like HBO Max is, I now feel guilty that we don't have it over here. Or guilty, I just feel sad. I like pageantry. I like it a lot. And I wish I had more of it in my life. But I feel like it's time now to change this from a positive world to a negative world. So Cherie, where should we go?
We're going to unpopular opinions. Let your hate unfurl. What are we going to hate on this week? I don't know. I'm excited, though. Unpopular opinions.
John, Command and Conquer.
So, yes, after many, what feels like years, but probably more months of waiting, we're finally going to get the remastered versions of Command and Conquer and Command and Conquer Red Alert, which appear to be pretty much true to the originals in everything apart from the actual graphics, which have been upscaled to 4K. Now, we're not talking about lifelike Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption style graphics. It's still very much the top-down base builder battle, but just brought into the 21st century. And for me, someone who grew up with that game and absolutely loves it, I'm all for these sort of retro remakes, which are true to the original games. You're not going to put in like a load of microtransactions or anything to really get in the way, or how we've seen some game franchises transition to mobile, and it's just not what you'd expect from that particular franchise, and it sort of loses it. So another game, which is basically the same game that I played, I don't know, 15 years ago, but will run on my modern day computer and look better, I'm all for that.
Yeah, John, I'm with you there, because even with all the crazy stuff coming out this year, my most anticipated release is probably Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 plus 2. Despite being burned by the franchise, you know, with the last few releases, it just, that's one of my favorite series of all time, if not my favorite. And as soon as they put that trailer out and they said that, you know, the classic soundtrack is back, classic levels are back, classic skaters, it just ignited so much nostalgia. And if it plays well and it looks as good as it does in those trailers, I'll be really happy. And yeah, that's the exact kind of game I could use right now. Just kind of a simple escape, you know, going back to chasing my high scores from when I was 13 years old. So yeah, I'm with you there. I'm still, even with all the cool new stuff coming out, I'm definitely a sucker for a good remaster.
I mean, I think the remaster is the hard bit though, isn't it? Because what you don't want to do is, well, you pick up an old game and you play it again. Like, I was literally playing Sonic the Hedgehog 2 the other day, just on, you know, got a PlayStation controller, I've got an iPad. I'm like, look, I can do this now. It's crazy. And I was like, why did I like Sonic? Like, this isn't that great of a game. Like, there's, you know, there's so many different ways to go through. I'm like, I don't know if I've completed it. I'm like, am I going to the end? Have I got enough rings? And it's like, I remember the joy of playing it when I was younger, and suddenly that's just disappearing. And I feel like remastering stuff, you have to both be absolutely true to the game, but at the same time completely change everything so it feels like it's new and it's exciting and it's cool. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if there's ever been a game that's remastered amazingly. Cherie, you're going to disagree with me. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, yes, I am, because that is Final Fantasy VII Remake. Totally rebooted that game. Like, because when I heard it, like, wait a minute, you don't even get out of Midgar. I was up in arms. I really was, but I still played it as Square Enix was going to get my money one way or another. It's Final Fantasy VII. It's the game that really cemented my gamer status as a teenager. Like, okay, this is a deep story. This battle system, I'm with it. And they gave me even more of that. And they, now with voice acting, and you really get a feeling for who these characters are and like the deeper motivations. Like, Square Enix did such a great job with this remake. I cannot wait. Like, every time that they come out with a new episode of this game, they will get my money. It is guaranteed now.
I'm going to bring you down now. Tell me about Apple's price hike.
So Apple decided to, like, if you need more RAM, you're going to pay a hefty price for it. So if you want to go from 8 gigs to 16 gigs, you're going to pay $200 for the privilege. So that basically means that the base model of the MacBook Pro that was $1,399 is now $1,499, and I don't understand why, especially since you're still stuck with 8th gen processors. We are literally on 10th gen, and we're going to start talking about 11th gen very, very soon, but yet Apple is going for this horrendous cash grab, and I think it's basically to push you towards buying the more expensive, more up-to-date MacBook Pros, which is, it's just a scumbag move, Apple. It really is, man.
I mean, let's not forget, this is from the company that's selling you a set of wheels for $699.
That's very true.
Did you guys watch the video of those wheels on a skateboard?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, someone bolted them onto an actual skateboard and then try, you know, with all the wheels going all different, the same omnidirectional. It's amazing. You know, you're like Tony Hawk skater, like someone trying to do a kickflip with that and then nearly just kill themselves because it goes sideways. It's incredible.
Well, that sounds amazing. I have to check that out.
It just irks me that Apple is still playing this nickel and dime game. They've been doing it with the iPhone, and I thought that they had stopped, because remember, for years after everyone else was doing 16 gigs as the norm for storage, Apple did 8 gigs for years, like at least 2 or 3 years afterwards before the uproar finally got to them, like, stop it, Apple. And they're like, all right, fine. And now it just seems like they're receding or like just de-evolving back to that. I don't know if it's a COVID thing. I don't know if it's an aggressive money grab, but it absolutely feels that way. Like, nobody should be paying $14.99 just to get more RAM. That's just ridiculous to me.
Well, I was going to end today's podcast, which has been going for a very long time. Thank you for still listening. With a new section, which I was going to call Thoughts from Dad, because I had talked to my dad in the week and he gives me good feedback on the podcast. So this week I was like, right, I'm going to give him some. This feedback this week, that's fun.
Love it. Great. Thanks, Dad.
All right.
Last week, it's fun.
Dad's earning that underwear gift.
He was like, you're going to talk more about space? And I was like, no, we haven't got Chelsea from space.com on, so we don't know enough. But that's his feedback. So hopefully this feature will come better. And when he's listening, he'll have some more detailed thoughts. But last week we were fine. So everyone, well done there.
Woo!
It definitely needs a Sherry sung intro to your dad's leg, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'll figure it out.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, guys, for being on this podcast. John, did you enjoy your inaugural attempt?
Yes. I love the lack of noise.
Thank you. It was cancelled. Michael?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a great time. And read Tom's Guide.
I'm surprised you don't know tomsguide.com/ and then just give a full URL. I thought you were going to work towards that.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description. I'll hijack it.
Yeah. And Cherie, how about you?
Laptop now, laptop forever, laptop the future. But if you want to, of course, go to Laptop Mag, and you absolutely should, we are at www.laptopmag. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. I think we have an Insta. If not, we're going to get an Insta. If you want to find more stuff from me, I am Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith 11, on Twitter, Instagram, and all the places that your social media needs to be, except TikTok. I'm not ready for TikTok yet. and yeah, thanks for listening. This is awesome, as always.
I was trying to find a way to get you so you didn't give out your Twitter handle, but you've managed to scoot that straight in. Also enjoyed how you did www.laptopmag, but didn't bother with .com. I'm like, I think people have dispensed with www, but it was there anyway.
So we're still on the World Wide Web.
What you said that, I kind of had to do it to dig at you. I just, like, it's the troll in me. I can't help it.
Well, thank you very much as well from me, Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of TechRadar, the bit I always forget. TechRadar.com does have Insta. We also have Twitter, Facebook, and all different bits and pieces for you to check out. The website itself also has content. Please read that. That is very good. And it leaves me to say thank you very much for listening this week. And to remind you that Noise Cancelling Podcast is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Please do listen to others on there. There are lots of great different pods to listen to. And please find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars if you can. Again, my dad pointed out you can't do it on Spotify, so don't try and do it there. And thank you very much, and we'll see you guys all next week. Bye.
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 Bye.